The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by IBM Watson, combining AI with Internet of Things data to help growers increase yields, improve quality, and drive sustainability. All right, it's kind of a weird week. Sure, there's going to be debates over acres and early kernel fill, and the conversation about total supplies for this fall will continue, but it's kind of a down week. We get milk production and storage today, but really isn't many major government reports. Oh well, I guess we'll just have to talk about the weather.
Live from Sparkle City, USA, via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This morning we've got Machinery Pete to update us from the world of iron. Then we chat with Gary Niemeyer from Illinois, and later Farm Journal editress Rhonda Brooks. Editress? Is that a word? And right after the news, Michael Clark from BAM WX. From Pro Farmers' hallowed halls, I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. Now here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Laurie.
Hey. All right. So is everything okay? Is the recovery process started? Are you skinnered out?
The recovery process is complete. And I'm
nice.
Ready to do it all over again, baby.
Excellent. Excellent. Good for you. Yeah. Sounds like it was an awesome time.
It was a great time. We were up in Minnesota,
yeah,
just north of Rochester a little, yeah, little bit, out on a grassy knoll.
Yeah.
Just had a great time.
Excellent.
Really great.
Excellent.
Time.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I figured something out. You know, we were sort of toward the back of that grassy knoll, and of course, as you get closer to the stage, there are more and more people.
Yeah.
Well, after the sun went down, the mosquitoes came out in force. I had an idea. We've got bullseyes on us out here. Let's get in a little closer to the crowd and even up the odds. If you're ever in that situation, get up a little closer to the crowd. It's like they didn't even see us.
Really?
Yes. We spread out the danger over other people that we didn't know, and we were better for it.
It was like people camo.
It was like people camo. I felt like Predator.
Yeah. Love it. Love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. Well, you won't believe this, but for the, you know, we like to boat on the weekends whenever possible.
Sure.
And for the first time this year, we finally got out to do a little bit of boating this weekend.
Outstanding.
Yep.
How'd the river treat you?
It was good. It was good, except for when that storm blew up on Saturday afternoon.
Right.
That was a rude awakening when all of a sudden you go from, it's a beautiful day, to, there's a few clouds rolling in, to 70-mile-an-hour winds.
Right. Right.
And it happened in a hurry.
I was sitting in a Denny initiating the recovery sequence at that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having a big old stack of pancakes.
Love that. Love that. Yeah. And that storm front that blew through on the Mississippi on Saturday also blew through Worthington, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Where I will be tomorrow for the Wiffles Corn Strategies event.
Fantastic.
But if you're listening up in that area, heads up, it's been moved because there was major damage done to the site.
Oh,
and,
no.
Yeah.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah. And so they've moved it to the Worthington Event Center. Okay?
Okay.
So the Wiffles Corn Strategies 2019 Worthington Event Center tomorrow.
All right.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to the news. What's going on?
Well, Chip, Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin engaged in telephone calls with his Chinese counterparts last week in an effort to restart negotiations on trade. The president said the talks had gone well, although a face-to-face meeting between negotiators has not been scheduled. Reports have surfaced that a number of Chinese companies have requested exemptions in order to purchase U.S. ag goods. China had promised on more than one occasion to make substantial purchases of U.S. farm products, but so far, actual sales have been disappointing.
Right.
Meanwhile, White House Economic Advisor Larry Kudlow will host a meeting with software and semiconductor executives today to discuss the ban on sales to Huawei, which has been a contentious issue in the trade talks. As negotiations continue, some China watchers warn the current trade truce is unlikely to hold. Scott Moore of the University of Pennsylvania wrote in an article, quote, "It's looking increasingly likely that the ceasefire will not hold and a conflict far greater than the trade war itself looms," Chip.
Oh, man, that's a little dangerous talk.
It's a little spooky.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think some of that's being reflected, along with the weather outlook, is being reflected in the markets today. We've got corn off about 4 cents, yep. Beans off 6 to 8.
The oil industry has weighed in on the controversial glut of small refinery waivers that are stalled in the review process. According to the Washington Post, a group of anonymous refineries has threatened legal action against the Environmental Protection Agency in 60 days if the agency does not begin issuing waivers to the 38 small refineries still awaiting a decision on fiscal 2018 applications. In a letter to the EPA, attorneys for the group wrote, quote, "The uncertainty over whether or not the hardship relief will be granted has tied up small refineries' precious working capital and prevented them from investing in their refineries to make efficiency improvements to remain competitive and profitable." Now, Jeff Cooper, yeah. President of the Renewable Fuels Association, earlier this month said, quote, "The year-round allowance for E15 doesn't do much, if anything, for ethanol demand if the mandate is not being fully enforced." Right. Man, it'd be nice to get a little resolution. We've got yeah. both sides now threatening lawsuits, don't we?
That's what I said on Friday. You know, the least... appreciated position in Washington, D.C. right now might be Andrew Wheeler,
right?
Because he's getting it from both sides. But doggone it, you know, those small refineries, they're part of a larger refinery in most cases. Mm-hmm. In most cases. You need some extra cash? Go knock on daddy's door.
There you go. Well, saber-rattling continues between the U.S., the EU, and Iran after Iranian forces seized a British oil tanker. The U.K. Jeez. Threatened Iran with serious consequences and has warned ships to stay out of the Strait of Hormuz. A U.K. official pointed out the tanker was seized in waters near Oman, not Iranian-held waters, calling the seizure a, quote, hostile act. The United States has positioned a solid military presence in the area recently, and President Trump has said he will be working to help the United Kingdom, calling Iran, quote, trouble, nothing but trouble. Crude oil futures gained 2% of the overnight session, but have since fallen back from early day session highs. Chip.
All right. Thank you so much, Davis. Let's bring in Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. How are you this morning, Michael?
Good, Chip. How are you doing?
Doing just fine, and it looks like we have got a gorgeous week on tap here in the middle of the country.
Oh, man. It's already starting out super nice across the central U.S. A cold front came through, brought a bunch of rain over the weekend, and cooler temperatures now and knock this heat out of here finally.
Yeah. How long does this stick around for us? And you know, it's a cooler pattern, which I think everybody's going to appreciate after what we had on Thursday, Friday, and into Saturday over, you know, here in the Midwest. But it's a drier pattern that we're looking at too, isn't it, Michael?
It is, yeah. It's cooler, it's drier, and that's probably going to last for about the next, you know, 6 to 7 days. There's a weekend storm that'll come in, bring some rain for Iowa, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois area. But all the cool weather this GFS model is throwing out is, I'll be very careful with that, buyer beware, because I think next week the heat can come back in a pretty big way, and we get more of this northwest flow, thunderstorm-type pattern that'll come back along with it.
Yeah, that's similar to what we had gone through with 3 days in a row, and what was it? I guess 4 out of the 6 days we had rains in Iowa here recently. That was a pretty mm-hmm. active pattern that we were looking at.
Yeah, it may be just kind of the same thing coming again next week. So I would look for those hotter trends or more of that heat wave talk to maybe resurface as we go throughout the week.
Gotcha, Michael. Thank you so much. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Chip.
Yep, that is Michael Clark, BAMWX.com. All right, when we come back, we're going to dive into the used machinery market. We got Greg Peterson, Machinery Pete, up next on AgriTalk. Stop worrying about nitrogen loss when it rains. Pivot BioProven, the microbial nitrogen source that stays put, weather or not. With recent advancements in technology and more usable data being created than ever before, the future is bright for agriculture. The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture collects hyperlocal Internet of Things data to create an electronic field record that is deliverable on a scalable, security-rich cloud platform. The solution applies AI and predictive analytics to this data to generate actionable, field-specific insights that food companies, grain processors, produce distributors, and farmers can use to help improve crop management. At IBM, we help agribusinesses accelerate their journey to cloud and transform into cognitive enterprises by combining Watson AI with accurate weather and farm data to help growers around the world make better decisions about pre-season planning, plowing, planting, spraying, and harvesting. To learn more, visit ibm.biz/agriculture.
Here's Dave Jones with the forecast.
Thanks, Karen. We have a rain system coming through the area, which means local farmers are looking at a very strong chance of nitrogen loss, unless they have Pivot Bio Proven, the nitrogen-producing microbes that apply nitrogen to corn no matter what Mother Nature throws at you.
Thanks, Dave. Sounds like farmers should start using Pivot Bio Proven.
That's right, Karen. With Pivot Bio Proven, your nitrogen stays put, whether or not.
To learn more, go to pivotbio.com.
Land, family, good weather. All a farmer needs for the simple life. Just a field, a family, sunshine, and rain. And a drone for digital imaging. And software to run geospatial analysis. And a commercial driver's license for heavy equipment. And a spreadsheet program to help maximize your return on investment. And an understanding of genetics, biology, economics, climatology, banking, global market prices, land lease negotiation, engineering, and HR management. Oh, and estate planning, so you can pass this so-called simple life onto your kids. At Pioneer, we're proud to work with generations of American farmers in the most complex and rewarding industry on Earth. So from your friends at Pioneer, thank you, farmers.
Is your post-harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Diacon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Diacon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarmer.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
The IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, helping to feed a hungry world with the power of AI. All right. Welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. I'm Chip Flory. Got Davis Michelson with me. And
standing by. Yep.
It is time. It is time, once again, to have a conversation with Greg Peterson from Machinery Pete. He joins us right now. Greg, it's good to talk with you again. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing pretty well, guys. How about you?
Real good. I love this first one. I want to jump right into it, okay? Can we get started?
You bet. Let's roll.
All right. It's Pete's Pick of the Week, and it comes from Hoopston, Illinois. So tell me about it. What's going on?
Well, very nice farm retirement auction Saturday, 2 days ago, guys. It was for Kim and Dana Knoll. And this was another sale by Sullivan Auctioneers. They told me about this, that it was really nice, just super clean line of equipment on the sale, but it was actually very difficult. There were three items on the sale, and any one of them could have been the pick of the week, but I decided to go with the tractor, a 1996 John Deere 7800 two-wheel drive. Okay. Super sharp. 2,653 hours. Went for $58,000, which when you peel apart the data on 7,800s, of course, the great majority of them we see are mechanical front. But if you isolate the two-wheel drives, that $58K is the highest auction price in just over 6 years. Wow. I had to go back to 2013. There were two of them. Again, this is 6 years ago. One sold on a farm auction in Saskatchewan, May 1st of 13, brought $65K. And then in the U.S., there was one January 11th of 13, Lake City, Illinois, that brought $65K. But again, you know, that was pretty strong at $58K. And they actually had a second 7,800 two-wheel drive on the sale Saturday, a 94 model, 2,909 hours. That brought $56,500.
Wow.
So a couple of really strong ones there.
And softened up a touch, YouTube. But not much.
Yeah, they... Wow. That was interesting because they're sitting right next to each other, and the 58K one sold first, lower hour one. And if you want to watch it, so we posted a YouTube video of it Saturday, but again, pretty strong price there.
Yeah, these tractors are, it's almost getting difficult to figure out which is the hottest piece at these auctions now, Greg, because It seems like tractors are cycling back into the lead.
Well, they are. Again, it's all based on condition. There was an interesting, another item on that sale that provided some good clarity on, I think we could say, the whole market. Curious to get your take on it, Chip. But they had a combine, again, super sharp, but 2011 9870 STS Deere, two-wheel drive, 1,785 engine hours. And it sold for $140,000, which, again, for an eight-year-old combine, it's pretty good. I mean, that's the highest auction price on a 9870 since September of 17. So I read at about 2 years the highest. So that's a premium price there at $140,000. But if we look at the average auction price on 9870s, so far this year, it comes in, including this one, and it comes in at $68,880. And last year, it was $86,259. So you're talking almost a $19,000 drop in the average price.
In the average.
While the nicest ones are holding, what we're seeing is more of them show up at auction with kind of higher hours on them. And that's across all of the combine market. In fact, I just ran some numbers on the John Deere S600 series combines, and actually huge drop in the average auction price, especially on the bigger ones, the S680s and 690s. But again, when the nicest ones show up at auction with lower hours, one owner on a farm sale, those are still bringing good premium dollars. So it's really interesting little dichotomy there. And to me, it's still all about, it just makes it clear to me that it's all about condition.
Condition.
Get into the used market. If it's right, people want it. If it's not, they don't.
Yeah. And if it's right, a lot of people want it. You know, it's not two guys that are thinking, it'd be nice to have bidding on it. It's three or four guys that want it.
That need it.
Yeah, that need it. There you go. That need
it. And there was one other tractor on that auction, guys, and again, this could have been pick of the week too, but it's kind of a rare one. It's a 96 John Deere 955 compact utility, which we don't see a ton of those. But crazy deal, only had 258 hours on it with a loader. I think it was a John Deere 70A loader with a 5-foot bucket, just like new, right? And it brought $17,500, which is the highest auction price in over 20 years on a 955. I had to go back. The next highest one I've seen was 7 years ago at $15,400 with a loader. So that shows you the demand there.
Yeah, I'd love to have it, but for $17,500, whoever bought it can keep it.
Well, again,
you know,
in the YouTube video, it was very interesting discussion. A lot of guys, just like you, Chip, they said, boy, I want that.
Yeah.
And then some people, you know, you can imagine, said, well, that's way too high. But yeah. Then people hopped in and said, okay, well, if you want to buy a new one at that horsepower, what are you looking at? So 17,500 in that light, not too bad.
Exactly. Okay. All right. Hey, guys, give us a call. There's still time. It's 855-4-TALK-AG. That's 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us. And when you do, make sure that you include hashtag AgriTalk in the message. Another area that we've talked about a bit is, and it's because of the conditions this year, I got to believe, those track tractors are just hotter than hot right now, aren't they, Greg?
Yeah, every week, Chip, we're getting more proof. Yeah. Last Wednesday, up in Callaway, Minnesota, northwest part of the state, the great folks at Steffes Group had a farm retirement auction for Jerry Matter, and he had two 2014 KSH Steiger 550 quad tracks. One had 890 hours, one for 254, and one had 1,230 hours, brought 249,000. And again, when I do the comparison, those are the second and third highest auction prices the last 3.5 years on a 550 quad track. Wow. And interestingly enough, three of the top five were all sold by the Steffes Group up there. So they always do a great job. But the stat that really got me on this one, Chip, was I looked at the average auction price the last eight 550 quad tracks sold at auction, $218,814.
Okay, 218. Okay.
You know what the current average dealer advertised price is?
No.
$219,700. So you're seeing hard cash auction as high as dealer retail. In fact, 2 weeks ago, we saw a Challenger MT-755C sold at auction. I think it was in Illinois, about 108. And on Twitter, one of the guys I know from Sloan Implement out of Wisconsin and Illinois chimed in and said, "Hey, Pete, we got one with less hours. We're asking less money."
Oh, jeez.
So these track tractors at auction, they're hot right now.
Absolutely. Hey, let's go out to Nebraska, Greg. We've got Tyler on the line. Tyler, how are you today? What's on your mind?
Good morning, guys. I had a question for Greg. I got a 97 8400, and I know you guys talk every week how conditional is everything. It's got, I mean, we use our tractors, and I was looking to upgrade to either a 20 or 30 series John Deere. We take really good care of our tractors, but it's a higher hour machine. It's got, 10.8 on the hours right now. Is there just no, even if they're taken care of and in really good condition, I mean, our tin and our plastic and tires and everything are in really good shape, but it just seems like everybody I talk to, what they're offering me for trade-in and price, they're just, if it's over 10,000 hours, I don't want anything to do with them, even in good shape. Is that kind of the case, what I'm going to run into?
Well, not necessarily, Tyler. It depends. You know, there's always nuance here. Like, how long have you owned the 8400?
Probably since 2005, I think. We're the second owner on it.
Okay. Well, what I would do, if you're not getting a satisfactory number on a trade-in, I think then, you know, there's always the option to try and move it yourself, which is sort of why we added the for sale by owner option at our machinerypete.com site. And what I would do would be to play up the fact that you've owned it for 14, 15 years. You're the second owner. Even on higher hour machines at auction, when they're first or second owner and well cared for, we do see higher prices there. Now, but you got to pull forward that truth that you're the second owner. And what I would suggest would be, you know, if you get it listed with us, just send me a little video clip of you standing in front of it. Hey, Pete, we've had this thing 14 years. Here's how we've used it. And when you do that, you're trying to cut through all the other high-hour, 10,000-hour ones. And there's only one that's Tyler's.
Yep.
But we need to tell people about it in a personal manner.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, we got to jump here. Tyler, thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate it. Good luck selling that 8,400. Greg, real quick, Machine Repeat, Big Iron Auction.
Yeah, it ends August 1st. The bidding is getting hot and heavy out there, folks. Great variety of equipment all over the country. 13 combines, some nice planters, balers, sprayers, tractors. Just go to machinerypete.com, click on the link, and have at it. Bidding ends August 1st.
You're the man, Greg. Thanks, buddy.
This year, the marketing intern at Wiffles Hybrids suggested that if we wanted to reach the next generation of farmers, we'd have to start using something called a hashtag, which is really just the pound symbol. So here goes nothing. Hashtag independent seed, explosive yield, viral corn. Now we'll just corn have to wait for our seed corn to go viral. Wiffles Hybrids, quite possibly the best hybrids you can buy. Am I doing this okay?
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts and gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
Joining us now is ProFarmer Senior Market Analyst Jeff Wilson. Jeff, we start another week off with some pressure in corn and soybean futures. What's going on here?
Just giving back some of the gains from Friday. That was kind of unexpected gains across the floor, led by the beans up over 20 cents. There was rumors of Chinese buying. There was talk that things were moving along on the trade talks. Some of the Chinese media is indicating that they're going to allow some of the private companies to buy some farm commodities, whatever that means. We've heard that so many times before. The market just says, let's see some daily export sales report showed no new Chinese buying. So the market's just sitting back here. The weather is good. It's not threatening at this moment. It is supposed to get a little warmer next week. It's supposed to be dry all this week. So, there is that risk that things can get a little more stressful next week. But for right now, the unexpected rains that we had across the board or across the Midwest last week, followed by cooler temperatures this week, have people looking for crop conditions to be up just a little bit in tonight's weekly crop report.
All right. And just a reminder, we'll be doing the ProFarmer Crop Tour podcast after the report is out this afternoon. Give you guys some updates there. Boy, the cattle on feed and the cattle inventory report on Friday afternoon looked sharply neutral, and that's kind of being reflected in the live cattle market today, isn't it?
Sure, but it still showed that maybe the expansion phase is done, and that's that's kind of a good thing going forward with the number of beef heifer replacements down 4.3% on the latest inventory report. So that's a good news. And basically, we're just seeing the meat markets were stronger last week, and that's providing more strength to the cattle, with the hogs down a little bit today, just giving back some of their gains.
That's Jeff Wilson.
Hey, AgriTalk listeners, this is ProFarmer editor Brian Grady inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers with ProFarmer. When you visit ProFarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit ProFarmer.com/radio today. That's ProFarmer.com/radio.
Find it now at shopfarmjournal.com. Brand new to the shop is The Best of Tractor Tales, as seen each week on U.S. Farm Report. This 2-DVD set features dozens of classic machines and the collectors who bring them back to life. You'll get one DVD that's all green, The Best of John Deere. The second DVD includes classics like Alice Chalmers and many more. Buy one DVD for $29.95 or buy the set for $49.95. Order today at shopfarmjournal.com or call toll-free 877-847-9599. You can find it now at shopfarmjournal.com.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors.
Machinery Pete's having a huge summer unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Items are open for bidding now and close August 1st. Go to machinerypete.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now at machinerypete.com/auction.
All right, machinerypete.com/auction. That's spot to go to. You know, it is always fascinating to talk with Greg when you see these new trends. I shouldn't say new trends, but when you see these trends cycle back through. Mm-hmm. You know, because for so long it was planters. And then it was sprayers that were kind of topping the market, and everybody wanted one. And combines were in there, and now tractors, and specifically track tractors, because of some of the conditions that we've had out there this year, are about as red hot as you could want them. I mean, the average auction price is within $500 of the average retail price.
Uh-huh.
The asking price That's out tough. There on some of this equipment.
Yep.
That is crazy. That is absolutely nuts. I mean, it's seller's market on some of this equipment out there right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's because gotta have it. All right. Davis, here's the story that we've been talking about since what? I mean, early April, when you get right down to it.
Oh,
we've
yeah.
been talking about the late plantings and how that's going to impact everything going forward. Well, one of the guys that we're going to lean on his experience and try to get a better understanding of what is going on out there with this corn crop is Gary Niemeyer. He's a farmer over in Illinois. He's a member of the Farmer Forum lineup here on AgriTalk, and he's a past president of the National Corn Growers Association. He joins us right now. Gary, it's good to talk with you again. How are you this morning?
Hey, good talking with you guys. We missed the rain north of us and south of us, but we're doing okay so far.
So tell me, that rain missing you, is that good news or bad news?
You know, this is, if I said to begin with, this is a strange year, I guess I would be okay. And everything to me has two things. Relative, our crop looks good relative, unfortunately, the fact it's a month and a half late. We have beans that haven't closed the rows. They look good. Yeah. Relative to being planted a month and a half late. We have corn that was planted a month late. It looks good relative to the fact that we planted it a month late. So I don't know how to answer it any better than that.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's this month late thing, Gary, that's got everybody all worked up right now. And there's no way of making a high confidence prediction on when that first frost is going to roll through the middle of the country, but doggone it, people are sure talking about it and trying to project out when this crop is going to get to maturity and be safe from that first frost. But it's difficult on the weather side, and it's difficult on the crop side making that projection on when we're going to be safe too, isn't it?
Absolutely. I'll give you an example. I planted my corn here at my house May 18th. It's 113-14 day corn. Today, I have 1,580 growing degree days in it, according to the weather. Okay. I need 2,820 more to make it mature. And these are just rough estimates with the weather people I follow. In August, we should get 758. In September, 512. Oof. In October, 151, and in November, 18. Now, those are growing degree days.
Yeah.
So I've got to accumulate a lot of those in August and September and October. And yeah. It's a two-edged sword because corn grows best between 85 and 65, which we're having this coming week. But we also are overcast, and there's a lot of clouds that beginning Saturday, we have like 10 days of 30 to 50% chance of rain.
Yep.
And quite honestly, this past week, even when it was hot, boy, did this corn and soybeans around here grow like crazy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It wasn't this weekend. Weekend before, I saw a lot of the rapid growth syndrome in eastern Iowa. That was on July 13th that I saw so much of it. Of course, that it comes out of it, but it's just it's evidence of how quickly that corn crop was developing, and it might leave it a little bit vulnerable to some weather damage later in the year. But I think so far so good on that crop. Good grief, Gary! We had 70-mile-an-hour winds over the weekend. Did you guys pick up any of that?
Oh yeah, and the corn that was planted around about the second, third, fourth of June kind of got rolled down because it was growing so fast, and it didn't have the time to have the root structure underneath of it, but it's kind of come back a lot since.
This is amazing to me because this wind damage, I've seen reports of it over in South Dakota, Gary, through Minnesota, northern Iowa, and into Illinois now. And I'm assuming that it carried over on, into Indiana as well and in some of those areas. So it's just it was a good weekend for growth, but doggone it, I think there's lots of green snap out there in some areas too that might have taken a bit of a bite out of out of yield potential. So when you look forward, Gary, when do you anticipate that your corn crop is going to be safe from that first frost?
Well,
it's not easy.
Sometime in September, to be honest with you, the corn I've got planted here, we hope to be harvesting it by the end of September, the 20th, 25th of September. Okay. And I'm just telling you, it will not be dry. And this is something else that I thought about after I had done this GDU stuff. Have you put into your formula of your profitability a drying charge? Because, it, you know, you got to do that this year. And that may be 35 to 50 cents. And but the average frost in central Illinois where I live is October 21st. Okay. I think the corn that we planted in April and May and real early June will probably be okay, but it's going to be wet. And again, there's so many strange variables to all this stuff. You realize that if you plant corn, now this is university stuff and come out of several seed companies, after May 1, you need 6.8 growing degree days less per day ever after May 1. I did not know that.
Yep.
And so that's good, but what does that mean? Your yield's going to be potentially cut because you haven't had the growing degree days?
Right. Well, what you're doing is you're shortening up the time period that kernel has to gain weight, and weight is yield. So when you shorten it up like that, it does mean lower yield going forward.
Okay. Let me give you a couple of, about three things that I've seen and noticed in our own corn here.
Yeah.
Very uneven pollination. I have never seen this. You know, we spend all the money on planter units for down pressure and up pressure and inside pressure and outside pressure.
Yeah.
It seems like we spend all kinds of money on doing that. And I have a planter that does a pretty good job. But I'm just telling you, the same variety, I've walked through it, and you'll have one ear that's maybe 6 inches long and another one that's just starting to shoot a tassel on it. Now, this is corn that was planted early May or mid-May. But I've never seen it that uneven ever before. Mm-hmm. That's one thing. Our neighbor had some sweet corn we just got, and it's good, tasted great. But the kernel depth was really shallow this year. Is that going to have something to do with our corn test weight, you know, later in the season? And unfortunately, we probably won't know that until we know what the weather is during August and September. And I'm just telling you, we sprayed fungicide on our early planted corn, the corn that we did happen to get in April.
Yep.
And even though we sprayed it, you're starting to see green gray leaf spot really come through it. Now, when you walk out in the corn that's planted later, it's green as can be. But if we get into this hot, wet, muggy stuff, I think the diseases will be just crazy this year.
Oh. Nobody likes to have to deal with that stuff. And, Davis, you've been talking about the increased need for some dryer capacity here, and you're watching this propane, trying to figure out the best time to get it booked up for Pro Farmer. We got to be getting close to that time where it's just pull the trigger on some propane, right?
I haven't gotten this week's numbers put together yet, but we are unchanged three consecutive weeks now. My advice has been unchanged as well. When it does come time to pull that trigger, boy, you best fill every bucket, every tank, every barrel that you've got there with propane just to get out in front of any supply side risk.
Right. Because boy, that demand, like Gary's talking about, is gonna be pretty hot and heavy come this.
Absolutely.
Come this fall, no doubt about it. Gary, keep us updated, will you?
Yeah.
Not a problem, man. I appreciate the opportunity. You've worked through the corn industry and a lot of university data. And I think I gave you an opportunity if a person wants to look up where they can go find that. You might want to put that on a website or something, and they can look up their own maturity for their own region.
You bet. We are going to make sure that everybody knows about that and where they can go to get that information. We'll have it out there on, it'll be on AgWeb and it'll be on agritalk.com. So everything's good there, Gary. Thank you so much, buddy. We appreciate it.
You bet. Anytime.
All right. That's Gary Niemeyer, farmer over in Central Illinois, past president of the National Corn Growers Association. It's David, he said it when he... Well, he got started, and then he backed up, and he said, it's just a weird year.
Yeah, yeah. That's absolutely true. We said it before. I mean, how many people have we heard say it? This is an analog year. This is one of those years that we're going to look back to and go, whoa.
Right.
Remember 19?
So what that means is everybody that wants guys to look forward and predict when the price is going to peak, when, what's going to happen with yield, what's going to happen... Nobody knows. We've never been here before. It's pretty tough. We've got Rhonda Brooks from Farm Journal up next.
This is Brian Grady, Pro Farmer Editor and AgriTalk Market Analyst, inviting you to get more insight on today's market movers and what to watch tomorrow with Pro Farmer. When you visit profarmer.com/radio, we'll give you 1 month of premium analysis and advice absolutely free. You'll get the perfect blend of the marketing and policy information you need for your farming operation without feeling overwhelmed. Plus, we'll text you when breaking market advice is issued so you never miss a marketing opportunity. Visit profarmer.com/radio to start today. Unbiased and free of advertisements, you'll get our detailed, time-tested advice for cash marketers and futures and options users, along with our premium analysis to give you the information that you need. Visit profarm.com/radio right now to start your free month. It's fast and easy to start, and there's no long-term commitment.
They're not the type to ask for help. The ones who beat the sun to their workday. But after floods erase generations of farmland, livestock, and crops, that resolve was shaken. It's time to show our farmers and ranchers that when waters rise, so do good people. Maybe they won't ask for help, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't answer. Donate to our farmers and ranchers at staystrongnebraska.com.
Farm Journal is bringing Hemp College to Altoona, Iowa on September 17th. This one-day farmer-focused conference will get you on the right production path with information on the best agronomic practices for hemp production, marketing, legal considerations, and policy news. Interact with growers and industry experts to gather answers to all your hemp questions. Our last Hemp College sold out, so don't miss your chance to attend. Register today at agweb.com/events/hempcollege.
Is your post-harvest grain protected from the ravaging effects of stored grain insects? For pennies per bushel, operators can fight insects in stored grains. Grain protectants from Central Life Sciences, such as Diacon IGR, Sentinel EC Insecticide, or Diacon IGR Plus, can help give you the long-term control of an insect growth regulator and the knockdown power of a broad-spectrum insecticide. Keep grain clean with grain protectants from Central Life Sciences. For more information, contact your local dealer or visit bugfreegrains.com.
Machinery Pete's having a huge summer unreserved online dealer auction in conjunction with Big Iron. Visit machinerypete.com/auction to start bidding now. Find that piece of equipment you've been looking for. Get yourself a great deal. Go to machinerypete.com/auction to see what's for sale. Every piece of equipment sells absolute. This is one auction you can't miss. Items are open for bidding now and close August 1st. Go to machinerypete.com/auction. Unreserved, lien free, no buyer fees. Start bidding now at machinerypete.com/auction.
No matter what you do, you're always raising the bar, trying to do better than ever. New DeLauro fungicide for corn and soybeans can help you get the edge you're looking for. DeLauro has a broader spectrum of disease control and best-in-class dual mode of action residual. Plus, it improves plant health, so your top-performing hybrids and varieties will have the protection they need to help you achieve your personal best yields. DeLauro from Bayer. Keep raising the bar. Always read and follow label instructions.
Hey, Jim, how would you describe our D.C. Signal to Noise podcast?
It's a dairy parlor analysis of the D.C. politics that impact America's farmers and ranchers.
Dairy parlor analysis? What do you mean?
No bull.
Download the DC Signal to Noise podcast with Jim Wiesmeyer and me, John Harrith, every Friday on agweb.com, the AgriTalk app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention oxygen users. Are you on oxygen therapy and still using tanks? Life is hard enough struggling to breathe. Don't waste your breath on dealing with bulky, dangerous tanks.
Call 800-513-4698 now.
And try the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator risk-free for 30 days. Tanks are a hassle. They hamper mobility and are difficult to transport, not to mention risky. The Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator is compact and makes its own oxygen, making your life easier. If you call right now, we'll send you a free information kit that outlines all the benefits. Plus, you can get a 30-day risk-free trial to see for yourself. But don't wait. This exclusive radio offer won't last. Call for your free information kit on the Inogen 1 G4 Oxygen Concentrator. Ditch the hassles of tanks and experience the freedom of living a mobile life again.
Call 800-513-4698. That's 800-513-4698. 800-513-4698.
Knowledge is power. We're here to charge your batteries. AgriTalk.
You know, I think Gary's taking a very logical approach to his corn crop.
It seems like it, a very measured approach.
Yes. Trying
to get all the facts, trying to get it nailed down with some specifics.
Yep. You know, it's, what he's saying is because of his area, when he normally gets a first frost, October 20, 21, something like that, his corn that is pollinated, even though it's highly variable throughout the field in how that crop is pollinating, he said it'll be okay. It's not going to be perfect, but it'll be okay.
Right.
I think that's a pretty dang good way of looking at it.
Well,
it's going to need some work once it gets into the combine before it's ready for the bin. But hey, such is life. You know, you got to get it right.
Yep. And in a year when so few people, I mean, when there's no way of knowing what's actually going on, no way of predicting where this thing is going to go, you have got to hold on that much more tightly to those things which you can know.
Right.
Sort those out and keep those fresh in your mind. And I would even dare say update them regularly.
Right. Right. Exactly. Control what you can is what you're saying.
That's exactly it.
And part of what you can control is the cost.
Mm-hmm.
So just make sure that you take care of that leading up to it. All right, let's bring in Rhonda Brooks. She is the editor of Farm Journal Magazine. And hey, it's big day, Rhonda. Welcome.
Hey, Chip. Good morning. Yes, it is a big day.
What do you got going on? You got a brand new look going out and hitting the mailbox today.
We do. Farm Journal goes out today to farmers, and we have a total redesigned magazine. It's only the 12th time in our 142 year history that we've had a redesign. And I think I'm really looking forward to seeing what farmers think of it.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about what went into it, the thought process here.
Oh, yeah. We've spent almost a year, Chip, talking to farmers, doing readership surveys, focus groups, trying to see what they need and what they want. And, you know, with guys increasingly and gals reading their news on their phone, they want shorter, snappier stories, more color, more charts, more graphs and data. And so we're trying to pack a lot of punch into briefer articles for them, but still bring them all the content that they want from Farm Journal and are accustomed to having.
Right. You know, magazine and what we do is still going to remain a relatively long form of information out there, though, right? Isn't it?
It is. I mean,
yeah.
You know, from what I can tell, farmers, just like general public, are absorbing content from more resources than anything,
right?
Online and in print.
Yep. Well, I sure appreciate hearing that because I didn't want to have to get my column down to 280 characters, Rhonda.
Well, we don't want you to either, Chip. your column's an important part of the book, so we appreciate you and. we appreciate our readers, and like I said, we're going to look forward to hearing back from them what they think of our redesign, and they'll still be the favorites, you know, $100 ideas, machine repeat, your column, and other our other columnists, so, you know, nothing, we didn't lose anything, we're just providing it in a bit of a different way.
Gotcha. Gotcha. You know, and for Farm Journal Media, it goes throughout the company. AgWeb's got a brand new, fresh look to it as well.
That's true. That's true. Things change, and I think, you know, these are things that we're doing to answer what farmers are telling us they want and what they need. And I think that's always important when you listen to, you know, to your audience's wishes, you know, what they want. And we're trying to answer that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Does it make, I don't know. I don't even know this. Does the redesign make it easier for you know, everybody that's involved in the production to bring the information to the readers that we need to get out there?
You know, if anything, it might be a little bit more challenging because, you know, we are providing more white space. You have to, I think it's more of a challenge to report and report well on a shorter format than it is, when you have more words,
yeah.
but it'll be a lot easier to grasp the information. You'll get it quicker. And like I said, we put a lot of effort and time into this for the past year and getting this right. And I'm real confident we got it right.
Good.
And I'm always interested in what farmers have to say. Would love to hear from them.
Very good. Very good. Well, Rhonda, what's the top story?
Top story is, and this is my other plug I wanted to give, this is our annual seed guide that we're doing, and that's what our redesign started out with, was, and this is our 10th annual seed issue. And so we're going to give you a peek under the tent, if you will, as far as what's going to happen this fall, what seed companies are telling us they expect to do. We're going to tell you what you can expect as far as kinds of traits and genetics, hybrids that they're going to be focusing on, and even a look at, you know, we kind of ran out of early season hybrids this year in a lot of cases, and the companies are looking to restock. So anyway, a lot of really good practical seed information before we go into that buying time frame that farmers go into this fall at harvest.
Right. Right. And Sonia Begeman's got a conversation with Harry Stein in this one, right?
Really good story, yes. Yeah, she does. In fact, we did a look at technology behind the faces, and Sonia did a really nice job on looking at, you know, the major, what I would call the more traditional players in the seed industry.
Yep.
About eight of those stories that she did on some of the key industry players. I think farmers are going to enjoy those.
And well, I know they will. I know they will because I did.
Good. Yeah.
I mean, it's really good stuff. Really, really good stuff. Yep. Rhonda, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, yep. Take care.
All right. That's Rhonda Brooks, editor of Farm Journal Magazine. Wow. It's a big week for Rhonda and everybody there.
Gotta
that
keep
new
it fresh.
Gotta keep it fresh. Yep. No doubt. All right. Hey, thanks for listening today, everybody. Thanks also to Greg Peterson and to Gary Niemeyer for joining us. It's always fun to talk with those guys. You've got to come back this afternoon because we're going to be talking more about what Jeff Wilson was talking about in that cattle inventory report with Don Close from Robo Agrofinance. And tomorrow, I'll be at Whiffle's Corn Strategies up in Worthington, Minnesota at the Event Center in Worthington.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers.
Call 800-806-9013.
That's right, annuity do's and don'ts for baby boomers and annuity rate report, both absolutely free for calling today.
Call 800-806-9013. That's 800-806-9013.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
The AgriTalk podcast is brought to you by the IBM Watson Decision Platform for Agriculture, leveraging unique data, analytics, and predictive insights to help growers make more informed, confident decisions.